This morning we are going to be looking at a passage from Luke chapter 2. We have been part of a series called What the Messiah Means To. And we have talked about different groups of people. We've talked about the prophets. We've talked about the religious leaders. We've even talked about what the Messiah meant to God. Today we're talking about the shepherds. And we are going to be looking at the beginning this morning at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. This is a pretty familiar text. And so we're gonna get right into it this morning. It says, but in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Okay, if we can go back one slide now, that would be great. Okay, so we are looking at this text. What does the Messiah mean to the shepherds? Now, we've talked about how he was fulfillment. The Messiah was fulfillment for the prophets. We've talked about how he was a threat to the religious leaders. We've talked about how he was a sacrifice for God. Today we're going to talk about, to the shepherds, how the angels announce the Messiah, and they announce to the shepherds that he is going to be good news of great joy. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many people, and we'll just keep it in our own country, how many people in our country today do not see Jesus as good news? Now, you start thinking about that. One of the things that's been very interesting to me over the years is how we kind of conceptualize who Jesus is and what he means. How many of you grew up, and you don't need to raise your hand, I just want you to kind of run this through your head a little bit. How many of you grew up in a world where you believed that if you didn't go to church, you'd go to hell? Any of you remember growing up like that? Some of you are going, Stuart, that's the only reason I'm here today. Which is a lie. You're here for the turkey. But that's okay. That's all right. Ain't none of you afraid of hell today. You're just like, turkey. By the way, twice a year. You'll eat turkey twice a year. And if you don't eat it on Christmas, once a year. But we love fellowship and we love being together. But a lot of us grew up in that world, right? And so I want you to think about the context for these shepherds. Now, first of all, why did the angels go to shepherds? What did shepherds represent in that time frame, in the time when Jesus was born? What group in society did the shepherds represent? They were working class poor people. They were working class poor people. And I want to draw your attention to something which is kind of interesting. I want you to notice, now remember, who's writing this? Who writes this gospel? Luke. What do you know about Luke? He's a doctor, and he's not Jewish. He's Greek. Okay? So I want you, as a non-Jew, I want you to see how he writes this gospel. He says, the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for who? All the people. Now, if a Jewish writer was writing that, we might interpret that to mean that Jesus was going to be good news for all of the Jews. But when a Greek man writes that, the implication is, he's going to be good news for everybody. So here's the question. If the angels proclaim that Jesus was going to be good news of great joy for everybody, why do so many people see Jesus as not good news? What happened in the messaging? that Jesus stopped being good news of great joy for people. And the truth is, we see this even in the church. We see people who are Christians who don't necessarily see Jesus as good news of great joy. That they see him as some harbinger of death if I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. We see Jesus as this as the punisher, which is really interesting how we have taken this story of Jesus and we've distorted what he means to us, and we've taken that away from being good news of great joy to being some sort of bad thing. And that changes our perspective totally, right? Because if we see Jesus as an enemy, as a threat, kind of like the religious leaders did, then all of a sudden we don't see a lot of joy in fellowship, we don't see a lot of joy in church, we don't see a lot of joy in his commands because we see him as some bad thing, and that was never what he intended to be. Now, I want to read a text this morning to kind of follow up on this, kind of to prove the point, and these are actually Jesus' own words. We're going to go to John chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Now, this is one of the most quoted verses in Scripture, at least the first verse is. But I want you to pay careful attention to what Jesus says. Now, he's talking to Nicodemus, one of these religious leaders. And I want you to listen specifically to what he says. He says, and I quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, probably 80% of you here could quote that verse from memory. But how many of you can quote verse 17 from memory? Listen to what Jesus says in verse 17 out of his own mouth. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Now, I love to bring random things into sermons because it helps people remember the sermon, because they're like, "I remember that time Stuart brought this really random thing into a sermon." How many of you have ever seen the original Ghostbusters? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, some of you are going, "Ghost, what is that?" That might be the younger people, ironically. Ghostbusters was the first movie I ever saw multiple times in a theater. When it came out, I saw it 4 times in 5 weeks. I thought it was the funniest movie. But here's the thing I want to draw your memory to if you saw the movie. There's a scene in the movie where the bad guy shows up and she. She is talking about the destroyer is coming. Choose the form. You guys remember that scene? Choose the form. And remember, Bill Murray goes, "Oh, everybody clear your minds. Don't think of anything." And then all of a sudden, stomping down through New York City. You guys remember what was stomping down through New York City? The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man had come, and what had he come to do? To destroy. He was the destroyer. I think there are a lot of people that picture God that way. That they think that God wants to destroy. That's the whole thing. And they have this mindset. It's like, and I've heard this 100 times from people over the years. How could a loving God send somebody to hell? And if you've read John 3:16 and 17, he answers it pretty clearly here. I want you to listen to what he says. He says in verse 17, "God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world." Now, why does Jesus out of his own mouth say, "I did not come to judge the world"? He goes, "What did I come to do? Save it." Now, let me ask you a question. If it is the mission of the church to be like Christ, how many of you would agree that is the job of the church? As Christians, our job is to be what? Christ-like. Okay, so let me ask you. If it's not the job of Jesus to judge the world but to save it, if we are to be Christ-like, then what is the mission of the church? To save the world, not to judge it. Now, how did we screw that up? I mean, it's so ironic, right? That Jesus out of his own mouth said, "This is my mission. This is my job. I came to save the world. I didn't come to judge it." Now, if you read further down in that text, he explains why. He says, "I didn't come to judge the world because the world's already been judged. That's already been done. Everybody's lost because of sin. I don't have to judge them. They're already judged. I came to take those people who have been judged and to save them." Does anybody know what the word gospel actually means? It means good news, right? Gospel means good news. And so there are two things in this text that I think are really important for us to draw a differentiation about the way we communicate Jesus to people. And maybe even on a more basic level, to understand what the Messiah means to you. For a lot of us, the Messiah means judge. And that was never what he was meant to mean to us. Because he said it himself, "That's not what I came for. I didn't come to judge. That's not why I'm here." He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave me his only son, so that whoever would believe in me won't perish." It's pretty simple. "But have eternal life. Because I didn't come to judge the world, but to save it." Now, for us as believers, and for us as people who are striving to be Christ-like, Jesus gives us a pretty simple template of how we're supposed to approach who the Messiah is and how we communicate that to the people around us. He is the Savior. He is good news. Now, think about how good news works. Imagine that you're out on a boat. Maybe you're out off the coast of North Carolina. You're out fishing. Maybe you went out. Where's James? James? Maybe James took you fishing. You're out on the boat off the coast. Maybe you're 4 or 5 miles off the coast. And all of a sudden, something happens like on Gilligan's Island, where a storm comes out of nowhere and the boat sinks. And now you're just floating in the ocean. No help in sight. And you know. That 10 feet below your feet, there's sharks. Because I saw Jaws, which was a mistake that I have never gotten over. So you know what's going to happen to you. You're going to drown and you're going to die because you were 5 miles from the coast. And you look, let's be honest, you couldn't swim from here to that door. So you know that this is bad news. I'm doomed. And then all of a sudden, you see a boat coming towards you. Now let me ask you, how many of you would care who was on that boat? If, as long as that boat is willing to pull me out of the water, I don't care if it's a Republican in that boat. I don't care if it's a Democrat in that boat. I don't care if it's Somali pirates in that boat. If they're willing to pull me out of the water and save my life, you know what that boat is? In the immortal words of Roscoe P. Coltrane, "Good news, good news." I've been waiting to do that for a long time, Mo. I got Ghostbusters and Dukes of Hazzard in the same sermon on Thanksgiving, brother, just for you. That's right. And you don't even know what's next. I don't even know what's next. We'll see. But it's good news, man. It's good news. The boat is coming and it's good news. And you're like, "I don't even like boats anymore," but it's good news. And why is it good news? Because without that boat, you're going to die. And that's why the boat's good news. That's why the boat's good news. And if that boat pulled up and said, "Hey, man, why are you in the water?" You'd be like, "James's fault. Boat sunk. He's the skipper." You wouldn't care. It's like, "Hey, you know what? I shouldn't have been out here today. Pull me out of the water, man. Just pull me out of the water. Good news, okay? Why does the Messiah represent good news to the shepherds? Why does he represent good news of great joy for all people? Because you're all in the water. And how you got there doesn't matter. The sin you committed that got you in that water doesn't matter. You're in the water and you're drowning. That's the condition of the entire world. Now we look at different people and we go, man, they're in deeper water than I am. But can't none of us touch the bottom. And by the way, whether you drown in a bathtub or in the ocean, when you drown, you're dead. Doesn't matter how deep the water is, just matters that you drown. And so how the judgment of how people got in the water, it's irrelevant. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge that. I came to save. And so what we all have in common is that the Messiah came, and he was good news to us, and he pulled us out of the water. He didn't judge how we got in the water. That wasn't what he came for. He said, I'm here to get you out of the water. I'm here to pull you out of the water. I'm here to pull you out of the clutches of death, and that's what makes me good news. But here's the problem. For a lot of people, perception is reality. And a lot of people perceive Jesus as the destroyer. And that's why he specifically tells Nicodemus, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. How many of you ever seen somebody and you thought, that person going to hell? I love the way no one raised their hand, and I know everybody here's done it. We've all done it. You know you've done it. You've looked at somebody and said, yeah, that person's on the fast track too, man. They're in the express lane. It's human nature to look at people sometimes and make judgments about them. Some people look at me and say, Stuart must eat all the time. And that's a lie. I'm actually a miracle, because you should not be able to keep this physique eating what I eat. It's really a miracle I'm this big, because I don't eat that much. And some of you are going, I don't know if that's true. Now, don't judge me by today. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Don't judge me by today. But, I'll come to the office on a regular day, and Jamie will back me up on this. I will eat a can of Progresso light soup for lunch and go home and have a small meal for supper, a bowl of rice and something, and gain 3 pounds. You know, we make judgments sometimes about people. And how many of you ever seen a homeless person, you made a judgment of that person about why they were probably in that situation? Or you've seen people who have fallen on hard times and you make a judgment about that person. Or you see people who are dealing with family problems or marital problems and you make a judgment, oh, I bet I know why that happened. And the reality is, that's not your job. That's not your job. It is not the job of the church to judge the world. If it wasn't the job of Jesus Christ, it's not the job of you. You know what our job is? To bring good news of great joy to those people. Not to judge how they got in that situation, but to tell them how to get out. That's our job. That's our job. Jesus is very clear about it. He goes, I didn't come to judge the world, Nicodemus. That's not why I'm here. I didn't come to tell people what was wrong with them. I came to tell them how to get right. I came to save them. Now, this morning, I want to look at a text. This is actually one of my favorite verses. And I'll be honest, this is one of those things, is like, I love this verse, but I didn't know where it was until I looked it up. This is in the book of Isaiah. This is chapter 52. Now, I want to give some context for this because this is really important. If you read the book of Isaiah and you look at chapter 53 of Isaiah, that is the chapter about the suffering servant. That's the chapter with all the prophecies about how Jesus is going to suffer many things and by his stripes we are healed. I mean, all of that is in Isaiah 53. But in the previous chapter, in Isaiah 52, verse 7, I want you to listen to what Isaiah says about the good news. He said, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns." That is a prophecy about the church. At least it's supposed to be. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. I got invited, oh man, this has probably been 15 years ago. I got invited, they were having a round table discussion over at Channel 9. And they had invited some community leaders and some ministers, and I don't know how I got invited. I think probably because I knew the weather guy there. I know you're thinking the same thing. Why'd they invite you? I knew somebody. But I remember we were sitting at this thing, and the discussion was on the general feel of what a newscast looks like. And during the course of the meeting, somebody made this statement to the news crew at Channel 9. They said, "We don't understand why there's not more good news." Any of you ever watched the news and wondered why there's not more good news? All right, now, I'm getting ready to tell you why. Because if it was good news, you wouldn't watch it. Nobody tunes in to the news to see human interest stories. You tune in to see the train wreck. Right? And you know how I know that? Because you already know when you turn it on that there's no good news. Everybody in this room. Now, I don't know what your political affiliation is, and I could not possibly care less, especially today because I got to eat with you. I don't care. But you turn on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, or even if you just turn on ABC or CBS or NBC, and you know what you're going to get when you turn it on, right? Bad news. It's just going to be bad news. And the only difference between the channels is the angle they approach the bad news from. But it's going to be bad news. And I remember the anchor guy, Alan Hoffman, was the anchor man for Channel 9 at that time. And Alan Hoffman said, we know from our ratings, we understand from the demographics, if we did a 30-minute newscast and 20 minutes of it was good news, our ratings would plummet. You think it's true? It's absolutely true. You know what that means? We have a world that's obsessed with bad news. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the church supposed to mirror the culture, or are we supposed to run contrary to it? We are supposed to be the source of good news in a world full of bad news, right? Isaiah said, man, how lovely are the feet that go out into the darkness of the community and share the light. How beautiful are those people who are going out and sharing the good news of what the Messiah is. And you don't do that by walking up to somebody and saying, you're going to hell. You do it by walking up to them and saying, I know who can save you? I know the one who brought good news of great joy to everyone. And there's a certain amount of irony that we move. It's funny, right? Because we're moving rapidly towards Christmas. That's why we're doing this kind of this holiday series. And today we're getting into more of the Christmassy elements of that, talking about the shepherds. Next Sunday, Jamie's going to be preaching about the wise men. And we're getting into that Christmassy thing, we're getting into that time of year where it's like, whoo, man, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And we sing all the songs and stuff. And then January 1st, you know what we're ready to do again? We're ready to go right back to the status quo, right? We're judging the world. We're telling everybody what's wrong with them. And I want to tell you something. I want to say this from the heart. People don't need to hear that. That's not what they need. The world doesn't need you telling them what's wrong with them. You know what the world needs? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Oh, now there's a Coca-Cola commercial. I told y'all didn't know what was coming next. You guys remember that commercial? Amber's ready to sing it right now. She's sitting there singing it to Aaron. You guys remember that commercial? Some of you are too young to remember that commercial. And I'm not even talking about the polar bears. I'm talking about before the polar bears, there was a choir of people, man. And I remember they all had candles. Team, you remember that? My sister remember that? Like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Oh, man, isn't that sweet? Wouldn't it be nice if that's how we viewed our job? Man, if we just wanted to go out and communicate to the world what the Messiah means to us, and that he means good news, he means great joy. And you know what? It's for you. Some of you in this room today may not believe that. Some of you in this room today may think, no, I'm disqualified from that. Stuart, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know. But here's what I know. Catherine, I don't know where you are, Catherine, but if you can go, if you're running the thing, can you go back to our first verse, our opening verse, Luke 2? I want you to listen to what the angel said. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people who deserve it. Is that what they said? Did it say good news of great joy for all the good people? No. It says, I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And the reality is none of us in this room deserve it. That's not the point. The point is that Jesus came to be good news of great joy for every single person you know. However broken they are, however damaged they are, whatever they're into, whatever they've been into, wherever they are in their life, Jesus has the potential to be good news of great joy for those people. Jesus didn't come to destroy those people. He's not some eternal Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking through New York looking to destroy everything in his path. That's not what he is. He said, I came to save the world, not judge it. And so this morning, I want to ask you a very simple question. What does the Messiah mean to you? Is he good news to you? Or do you see him as something more sinister, more dark? Jesus, I see him as this person who's hovering over me, just waiting for me to mess up so I can do what to him, Roxanne? Smite them. Ah, you did miss that one. I had teed you up and everything, right? Just smite them, right? Just smite them. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to be our good news. And so how do you see the Messiah today? Second question. If you see the Messiah as good news, if that's really how you see him, are you communicating that vision of the Messiah to the people you come in contact with? Is that the Messiah that you portray? Because as the church, we are to emulate Christ. We are to be Christ-like. And if Christ says, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it, then that means the mission of the church is not to judge the world, but to save it. That's our job. How lovely are the feet of God's church who go out and spread good news through the world.